Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Let me play my playlist. Because you're playing all the songs, and most of these songs that you play are too slow and meek and mild and Jesus the baby. No. She wants to jump for joy and celebrate Christmas and scream out and all that. And I'm like, baby, there's a little bit of everything right here, right? So I know that when we think of Christmas, there's times for us to kind of ponder upon the things that happen and be kind of mellow and romantic type about it, whatever you want to call that, sweet and slow. But there are times also when you get really happy, right? And you jump for joy and you sing Christmas, and that's awesome. There's a song out there that's been sang for the longest. Who knows? I tried researching the history behind it because I heard a story about it. You know, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love came to me. You've heard that song? How many of you know the 12 gifts? I mean, a lot of you know the whole song and can. I can't even do, this part I could never forget. 5 golden rings. Right? That's because then it gets fast. Yeah, Tiffany. No, I don't know. And a partridge in a pear tree, that's all I know. Those two, the 5 and the 1. But I read an article about how each and every one of those gifts represents something in the Bible. Like represent one of them, the one Savior, Jesus, and the gifts of the Spirit, and the 12 apostles, and things like that. And then I said, wow, this is amazing. This is a song that has a lot of meaning. But then I wanted to do some research on it. And then I saw some research that said, yeah. And then some other research said, no, that's a lie. Christians never gave meaning to that song. It was later on that people started thinking. Somebody sat down and tried to figure out all 12 gifts, how they could relate it to the Bible. And that's so I wasn't about to sing it or tell you about it. But one thing I know for sure is that Christmas has many gifts, right? And I want to talk to you about 7 gifts this week that we see that Christmas brings. And these are 7 gifts that were either told to or told through someone. You see, God spoke. And these are words that were spoken to some people or through some people. But they're all for you and me. These are gifts that come with the one true gift, of course, which is Jesus. But within him, he brings. And I want to talk to you about those 7 gifts as we talk about the different people that experience them. And I want to take you to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 and 77. Now, this is about Zechariah. We've talked a little bit about Zechariah a few days ago, but we're going to go back to his story for a second. And let's look at verses 77 through 76. It says, am I in the right book? I just want to make sure. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. I want you to look at those two verses real. I mean, this is not much. But this is what the angel that show up to Zechariah tells him. You know, this child will be called the prophet of the Most High. You see, he's talking about John, his son, to come. Now, remember that Zechariah is one of the priests, and he's in the temple. And as he's serving in the temple, the angel shows up and says, hey, guess what? Your prayer's been answered. We talked about that last week. Your prayer's been answered. You will have a child. You and your wife will become parents. And he's like, what? I'm scared and all of that. But the thing is that if you think about it, I want you to know exactly what the angel said to him. And in verse 76 says, this child will be the prophet of the Most High. This is John, your son. But check this out. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. You see, John came to preach what? Salvation. I want you to know that this child that is coming and your son will be speaking and preaching about will bring the gift of salvation. Jesus came to bring salvation. This is very important. You see, of course, I think I told you last week, and if I didn't, I'll say it again because I thought it was pretty interesting, that when the angel showed up and spoke to Zechariah and said that his prayer would be answered, that they would be parents, Zechariah doubted. Zechariah was afraid, and he said, this cannot be. He didn't believe. You see, he told the angel, first of all, I'm an old man. I'm too old. But if you read the scripture, when you read what he said, I'm too old, and my wife is, hold on, you never call your wife old. She is advanced in age. That was a smart one, right? Say, I'm old, my wife, no, she's not, well, she's advanced in age, you know. No one will call that woman old, right? So that, I thought that was pretty interesting. And I don't know if I told you last week, but I just thought I did, and I didn't, and I did. So I don't know. So I just told you again. But I want you to think about this, because we know that we talked about the fear that people experienced during the news of Christmas. Mary experienced fear. Zechariah experienced fear. Joseph experienced fear. The shepherds experienced fear. They were all scared when they heard the news. This is amazing. But I want you to notice something, that when the angel told Mary, do not fear, and told her what would be, I mean, Mary asked the same question that Zechariah asked. Because Zechariah told the angel, how could this be? I'm an old man, and she's advanced in age. But Mary said, how could this be? I've never been with a man. They both asked the same question. How could it be? But look at the result of these two people. It was totally different. Because when Mary said, how could this be? I've never been with a man. And then the angel explains to him, and she says, I'm your servant. Your will be done over my life. I surrender, right? And she's done, and she goes, and she is blessed, right? She's favored and all that. And we're going to talk about that too. But Zechariah, the result was different, even though he asked the same question. How could this be? And then you'll say, you're going to go mute. I'm not going to allow you to speak until this child is born. You're not going to speak anymore. And Zechariah went shut. He couldn't say a word. He couldn't say anything. This is amazing. You see, it is later, when the child is born, you know, when John is born, his son, that's when he's finally able to speak, when they're saying, well, what are we going to name this kid? Well, you got a name in Zechariah. That's his father's name. He's a junior. And the mother, Elizabeth, says, no, he will be called John. What do you mean, John? There is no John in the family. And if you ask a modern family now today, they'll be like, that's why we're calling him John, because there's no John in the family. That's here in the United States. We want new names for our kids. Go to my country. Or go to Central America. You know how many Honduran Luises I know? I know families. Excuse me, Luis. But how many Luis are in your family? Four. His father, him, his uncle, his son. I mean, they're all named Luis. I guess, I don't know if, you see, I tell people, of course, when they ask me, and I was just asked yesterday, what's your middle name? And I'm like, I don't have a middle name. You don't have a middle name? I'm like, no, we were too poor. We couldn't afford one. Right? So, was you that poor you couldn't afford to get another name? Everybody got to be named Louise, I mean, I'm, right? But they said, no, he's going to be named John. And I'm like, in that culture, it was like, what do you mean, John? We're supposed to carry names. Well, that's why we have last names today, right? But you see, and I know I'm giving you a lot of other stuff here, but when he finally says, oh, he grabs his iPad and he writes John, and he shows it to everybody, and everybody's like, he will be named John. Boom, there goes Zechariah. He starts speaking it again. Let me show you something. Let's go to verse 67 and 69, a little bit earlier. After his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, you see that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." There's a couple of words that we're going to be talking about with blessed and redemption. But I want you to think about this. "And has raised up a horn of" what? "Salvation for us in the house of David, his servant." You see that? Salvation. The horn of salvation. That is Jesus. He came to bring salvation. And if you believe, that's what you get. If you believe, that's what you get. Abraham believed, that's what he got. Mary believed, that's what she got. And finally, it seems like Zechariah is now believing. So the main message, actually, of the good news that we talk about in Christmas is what? Salvation. That is it. It's salvation, nothing else. I want you to think about the name of Jesus, which my brother Jay mentioned here, Yeshua, right? Yeshua. Or Yeshua, however you want to pronounce it. I don't know because I'm not Hebrew. But I want you to understand about this name. Now, when you look at this name, a lot of times we get it to, or we confuse it with Joshua. Because Yeshua, Joshua, right? But actually, it's not the same, but it's kind of the same. Because first of all, the name of Joshua in the Bible, there's only two Joshuas in the Old Testament. And one of them being Joshua, the one that brought the people into the promised land when Moses commissioned him. This Joshua, his name was actually Hosea. Hosea. Okay, Hosea. Which means saved. Hosea. Saved. And then Moses kind of put a J on there. Josiah, so Joshua, so we know Joshua, right? So God saves. So, yeah, it has a very similar meaning about the name Yeshua, which is Jesus' name. That's why you see Jesus, Joshua, they look so much alike. But the J meaning God saved, right? But then Jesus comes, and Jesus is called not Joshua or J, Hosea, like Joshua is. He is called, "I am God, your salvation." I am God who saves. I am God. The I am. It's like the letter Y instead of the J, if you think about it. That's a big difference. Because one thing is to say that Joshua could say, "My name is God saves." Another thing is to say, "My name is Jesus. I am God, the one who saves." You see that? And that was Jesus' name. No wonder everybody was so upset. And all the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and everybody was always so angry. Because when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the bread. I am the life. I am the way. I am this. I am. It's like, wait a second. He's blaspheming. He's saying he is God. Yeah, exactly that. He is. That's why it was such a problem. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am everything you need, period. That's exactly what his name means. But his name is I am Savior. I am your Savior. I am God who saves. I am the God who saves. And don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget who he is and what he does. He saves. He is mighty to save. He is our salvation. He is our Savior. He is the only one in which we can be saved. So think about that. This is one great gift that we get at Christmas, salvation. Now let's go to the next one. Let's think about another one. How about favor? How many of you like favor? Well, do me a favor. Listen for a second. All right, let's talk about what favor means here. In Luke chapter 1, if we go back to verses 26 through 30. Now we're going to talk about Mary, okay? And listen, this is what happens when the angel shows up in verses 26 through 30, okay? And it says, "Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Favored one. Nice. "But she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So this is great. Twice there we see the word favor. Now, what is the word favor? The word favor comes from the word charis, which means grace, right? from, you've heard the word charisma or charismatic. Charis is the first word there. And this word is favor. Now, I want you to know this, because this word favor is translated 6 times in the New Testament. It's translated grace. Grace. That's why in some instances you'll see in some of the translations, you are graced or highly graced, you know, highly favored. Grace. We're talking about grace of God. Now, and there's other times, which is 130 other times, which is grace also, but in other places. But I want you to think about this. You have found grace. You have found favor. Noah found favor before the Lord in Genesis 6, right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This time, the season of Christmas, there is grace. God's grace is available. God's favor. You know, and as we think of Christmas, think about that great gift he gave you, the gift of grace. You are highly favored by God when you believe in Jesus Christ. You see, the grace of God descended from heaven. God's favor. Mary was the first one to experience this grace in the way that we want to experience it. Have you ever been asked, if you're a parent, which one's your favorite child of your children? You're like, oh, I ain't got no favorites. They're all the same to me. And some of you are like, yes, secretly. Well, right? But you won't say that. No, just, and I don't go there. Don't go there. Don't get in trouble like that, right? But the truth is that in other matters also, you can think that sometimes it's hard to pick a favorite, right? Like, for example, what's your favorite food? Some of you may say, Italian. Right? Thank you. Who said that? Yeah, all of it. You see, that's my problem, Shannon. You see, Italian, Chinese, whatever, I'll take it all, right? Now, see, that's what my problem is, that I don't have, that all of them are my favorite. Now, God has many favorites, amen? And you could be one of them. You could be under his favor. He can bestow his favor upon you, his grace, if you believe in Jesus. He brings salvation and he brings grace. What a blessing. Now let's talk about the third word here. Let's talk about the third gift of Christmas, which is blessings. You see, Jesus comes bearing blessings for all of us. He wants to bless us. And we see that in Luke chapter 1 also, in verses 39 through 45. And this is another person, Elizabeth, involved in the story, Zechariah's wife. Now check this out. Now at the time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello, another one here who's filled with the Holy Spirit. First it was her husband Zechariah. Now we see her being filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Their child, John, filled with the Holy Spirit and preached Jesus. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord will come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed, 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 blessed. How many of you like to be blessed? I mean, I love it. I don't mind at all. I want blessings every day, right? It's amazing. Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. What does the word blessing mean? The word blessing means happy. Happiness. Jesus brings the gift of happiness. We say Merry Christmas, right? Well, we want to be merry. What does merry mean? Being happy, maybe? You know, when you say in Spanish, Feliz Navidad, right? Means what? Happy Christmas. That's what it means. Happy. You see, a lot of Christians think that happiness is a thing for the world. We can't be too happy because that's not godly. Well, guess what? I'm extremely happy, so I may not be godly then like you think. Because happiness is one of the things that Jesus brings. The word happy in the Greek is Makarios. I know some people in Spanish named Makario. That's a weird name anyway. But the thing is, happiness. Did you know that Jesus wants to make you happy? Jesus wants to make you happy. A lot of us just struggle with that. You see, this is one of the lies that Satan has used throughout the ages. If you give your life to Christ, there goes your happiness. Because all the things that make you happy, you have no longer. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. But he forgets to tell you, you can't go to hell. He forgets to tell you that. He'll hide that from you, right? You see, have you ever heard people, you speak to them about the joy of Christmas and the blessing of Christ and the grace that he bestows and all of this about salvation, and they say, well, you know what? I want to enjoy life first. Have you ever heard? As a matter of fact, I was listening to a radio program the other day, and a guy was asking on the radio, let me ask you something. How about a Christian that's been a Christian and has gone through so much suffering and so much stuff all of their lives, and then all of a sudden, here comes another one and accepts Jesus Christ right when they're agonizing, right before they die? Is it fair that both go to heaven? Maybe it won't be fair to you, but it's fair to God that if one places the faith in Christ Jesus, whether it is at the last moment or at the first moment, they're saved. It's about faith. It's not about the timing. You leave that up to God, right? But the thing is that a lot of times people think that, well, I'm going to live through this. I'm going to do this. And then maybe, you see, when I get old, creepy, tired, and ugly, then I'll come to Jesus because I'll have nothing else left in me. You go ahead and live like that and fool yourself. Maybe death will take you before you actually repent. You just don't know. So don't take the risk. Because let me tell you something. Jesus wants to make you happy. And he is the one that can make you truly happy, truly blessed. Because the true happiness comes from Jesus. Isn't he the reason for the season? If you want a reason to be happy this season, Jesus is. You see, have you ever heard this saying, happy wife, happy life? Have you ever heard that? Yeah, you know you've heard it. You probably said it to your friends. Man, I'm telling you, happy wife, happy life. Right? Well, happy life is because of Christ, not your wife. If your happiness depends on your wife, you can forget about happiness, my friend. I know the wives are not like, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't. We're going to talk about this when we get home. Right? Mine's not here, so I can say that right now. I may skip this in the Spanish service. Right? See, happy life is Jesus in your life. That's happy life. Let me tell you, look at this. Peter is preaching, Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Peter preaching, Acts 3, verse 26. It says, for you first, God raised up his servant. For you first, the Jews. He's preaching to the Jews saying, let me tell you something. You're privileged because you're the first ones to get this gift. Check it out. Because he sent his servant to what? To bless you. By what? How does God bless you? By turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Huh, there's a clue to happiness right there. Turn him from your sin. Turn him from your wicked ways. Turn him from your iniquity. Turn him from your fallen nature to Christ. Blesses you, and blessing is happy. You want to be happy? Turn away from your fallen nature. Turn away from your old self. Turn away from it. And you can't do that on your own. Jesus is the one that makes that happen. He blesses you. He makes you happy because he turns you from your iniquity. He turns you from your fallen nature. Turns you away from. See, that's, like I said, the lie that's been preached out there. And so many Christians still even battle with this. And I may even have some struggles with it, because I am still inclined to do the wrong thing. I still battle with the flesh and my fleshly desires. And sometimes I forget that if I want to truly be happy, if I want to truly be blessed, I need to turn away from some of this stuff. But I'm thinking that my desires fulfilled in the flesh are going to make me happy. Are they really? No. True happiness comes from going to the other side, going the other way. That is what blessed means, to be happy. Now, does that mean for you filling your own desires? Or is it filling and fulfilling God's will? Don't get confused if you're a believer. There's a lot of things in this world that we can enjoy. God has left us here for the time to do some work, but also to enjoy what he's made for us. But that doesn't mean enjoy what you want to then expect to be happy and come back to him after you find your happiness. See, iniquity or fallen nature, my wicked ways, are totally contrary to God's blessing. Jesus came to bring blessing, therefore, to pull us away from that. So we've talked about salvation. We've talked about favor. We've talked about blessing. Let's talk about one more. And Joseph, this is Matthew chapter 1. Let's go back to Matthew in chapter 1. As we go to verses 19 and 20. And Joseph, her husband, Mary, right? Y'all know who I'm talking about? Being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go a little bit further down in chapter 2 and verse 13, because I want to connect these things. In verse 13, it says, now, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. You see that now in verse 19, a little bit further in chapter 2. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. This is the third time. And said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are now dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned again by God in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee and came and lived in the city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called Nazarene. I want you to think about this. How many times did Joseph encounter guidance? You see that word? Jesus came to give us guidance. That's a gift. Let me tell you, do you need guidance through life? Because I know I do. I know I do. And God will guide you. You don't have to worry, because God wants to guide you. Joseph experienced the guidance of God. This is a great gift that Christmas bestows upon us, that we get to be guided by God if we listen to him. He gave him warnings. He gave him directions. He gave him destinations. He said everything he needed to do. And let me tell you something. In life, you're going to encounter important, sometimes some menial decisions, but sometimes big decisions all the way throughout your life. So on a daily basis, seek his direction so you make good daily life decisions, and he will give you guidance. He's your GPS, right? GPS, you know, we talked about that global positioning system. I heard a preacher call it guidance protection services by God, right? Or God's protector services, because he does protect us and he guides us and he leads us. Now, how many of you use your GPS when you're driving around? Now, let me ask you something. Be honest now. How many of you do exactly as your GPS said and listen to it every time? No? Why not? And why use it? I used to fight with Siri. I used to hate Siri. I don't even know Alexa or Google. I don't even want to know them because I had enough with Siri. If I couldn't handle one, I don't know what I would do with all three of them. But let me tell you, I used to fight Siri. Take this route. Oh, no, I know a better route. Ah, traffic. Ah, does that happen to you? You see, I've learned my lesson, honestly. Whenever I use Siri, I use my GPS on my phone, I stick to it because she knows. I don't know where she gets her information, but she knows. Why fight her? Happy Siri, happy whatever, right? It's amazing. You see, I used to not follow. I used to not want to give up. Proceed to the route. Proceed to the route. Redirecting or recalculating. Don't you love that? I say, yeah, recalculating. Yeah, right. You know, when I stopped and I actually started listening to Siri, when finally she said, get out of the car, let me drive. Oh, actually, it wasn't her. It was my wife saying that. Has your wife ever told you that? Let me drive? Oh, admit it. You can't drive. Let me drive. Oof. Let's go somewhere else. Okay. But you see, God wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to give us direction. And he did it with Joseph. He did it with so many people. You look at the Bible, and people who trusted God, the God that they trusted would give them directions. The Holy Spirit is within us to what? To give us direction. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, we know that when we see these stories, these are all through dreams and visions. Now, how many of you would like to have dreams and visions? I would love that. Let me tell you something. These people didn't have the written word like we have it today. We have the complete counsel of God. The complete word of God from beginning to end. The problem with a lot of us, and it happens to me too, that sometimes I'd rather God speak to me through a dream or a vision than for me to take the time to sit down and read the Bible. That doesn't work like that. Don't you think that you're just going to sit down and say, God, speak to me, and just you're going to depend on that? No, go to the word and read it. He's speaking to you. Start with that. Maybe when you start with that, he'll start speaking to you in other dreams and visions. I'm not saying that he won't, but you need to start where he is, and he's given us that already. Now, of course, I know some people who say, okay, I'm going to go read the word so that God speaks to me and he gives me guidance. And we fall asleep on it. What, do you think because you fell asleep reading the word, now he's going to give it to you in dreams and visions? It doesn't work that way. You see, this is the thing. We want to substitute what's been given to us with something else that so fantastic. And you know what? We need to be careful. We have his word at all times, and we don't read it. Yet, we want him to speak to us in a dream or a vision. Don't go to sleep. Go to his word. Because the only time you get a dream is when you go to sleep. But go to his word. We have his word. Open it up. It's so available. How many of you have a paper Bible here today? There's a few. How many of you have an electronic Bible? I'm not going to ask the next question, which is how many of you don't have a Bible, but I'll leave that at that, right? But you have it on your phone. You probably have it. You probably have 10,000 applications on your phone about the Bible. Do you use them? Do you read them? Come on, let's do this. How many of you have been reading through the book of Luke? You see, somebody suggested to read the book of Luke. We put it on our website or on our Facebook page, right? You can read the book, the whole book of Luke, which is Jesus' story, if you do it from December 1st all the way through December 24th, right by Christmas Eve, all 24 chapters. You would have read the story of Jesus' life during the month of December. Now, some of you saw it and maybe said, hey, I'm going to do this. Some of you didn't see it. I'm sorry. I wish I would have said it. But what chapter are we on today? 12, yeah. December 12th. So we're halfway through the book of Luke, if you're reading through it. You see, we can do this kind of stuff. Read the Bible. Look for guidance in it. God wants to guide every footstep of yours. But you just have to tune your heart to him. So salvation, favor, blessing, guidance. Let's look at the last three. How about joy? How many of you like joy? Oh, I love joy. The shepherds experienced joy. Let's go back to Luke. And we go back to Luke chapter 2 this time, where we see the shepherds, because the news that they were given were news that bring joy. And the amazing thing is it says bring great joy. In Luke chapter 2 verses 8 and 10, it says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out of the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Some joy. Great joy. Which will be for all the people. Great joy. I mean, great joy. Really and truly, what they're saying is not just that this is a big, great, as an amount and as a quantity or as a size of the joy, but the reason for joy. What really is saying there, I bring you good news of reason to be joyful. And the reason for this season is Jesus. Right? So Jesus is the reason for joy. Jesus brings joy. Simple as that. No other way to experience true joy except through Jesus. This season or any season. You see, and the good thing about joy is that it does not depend on circumstances, right? You can experience joy even when things are not going your way. See, Christmas can be difficult for some people because some people may not be present this Christmas. Or it may be that at Christmas, you sit down with your family and you think, so-and-so's not here. Or so-and-so will never be at this Christmas with us anymore. Bad memories, missing members of the family, no money, no work, pandemic. But those are circumstances, and Jesus is not circumstantial. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's living, and he is living right now, present, in this present. He's not just in the past. He's with us 24/7 to save us, to favor us, to bless us, to guide us, to give us joy. He's there, period. See, you think about even in funerals. One of the things that the world may not be able to understand is when we, as true believers, celebrate or do a funeral for someone who is in Christ. You see, you can experience grief. Nobody's saying that you need to substitute grief. You see, God is not saying, well, you need to be joyful and forget about that grief. No, God doesn't say that. What is amazing is that we may experience grief and joy at the same time. That's impossible for the world because they don't have true joy in Christ Jesus. When you think about it, we're the only people that legitimately can grieve and also rejoice at the same time. See, we can have the joy of knowing that we're secure in Christ even when we're going through the grief of saying goodbye. You see, no matter how you go around it, Jesus brings joy. Have you ever thought about, I don't know if you've had tough Christmases. You know, some people have. Well, this Christmas won't be the same because we don't have this. This Christmas won't be so joyful because we are lacking this or someone or whatever. Now, if you can't have a joyful Christmas because of something, then Jesus may not be at the center of your Christmas celebration. Because he's always there. Whether you have money for gifts or not, whether you're all there or not, Jesus is there. Now, you ever thought about the little drummer boy? I know someone who likes that song a lot. It's a pretty cute song, right? Little drummer boy, famous. I have nothing to give except playing my drum. Well, guess what? If that's all you got, that's all you bring, but think about it. This old drum, this old drum right here called heart, and it's a new beat. And that's what Jesus provides. A new joyful beat. Christmas doesn't have to be anything else but a joyful time, because Jesus brings the beat to the Christmas party. So, salvation, favor, blessing, guidance, joy. Let's think about another one. Redemption. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 38, and we're almost there. Check this out. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then, as a widow, to the age of 84, yet she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayer. And verse 38 says, at the very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the what? Redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption. That's another word. That's another gift. Now, I want you to think about it. This is a prophetess who's been hanging around the temple for so many years, praying. And it just so happens that at the same moment, at the same instance, when Joseph and Mary come to the temple with the baby, she walks in and she is starting to prophesy. This is amazing. So look at her. She's probably, some think that she was 105 at least. Because she had been married for 7 years. And normally, girls married at around 14. So she was 21, and then she became a widow. And after 21, 84 years as a widow, that's 105, right? So it could be that she was over 100 years old. See, I want you to know something. No matter how old you are, God can do something with you. You see, Simeon, which is another man that we see in the Bible, which we're going to talk about, the seventh gift, he was believed to be 112 years old. So it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, God can do something. But talk about redemption, redeem. What does the word redeem mean? It means to buy back or to buy again. To buy back, to buy again, to repurchase, to redeem. Deem meaning value, so I give you value again, right? Redeem. Remember, we are... God is paying the price for us, and he is redeeming us, paying the price for a second time. Just like when you see the words restore, renew, redeem, repurchase. That's what he did for us. And it reminds me, in the Old Testament, there's a story. Have you ever read the book of Hosea, the prophet? You see, in the first chapter, God tells Hosea, go and buy a woman, a prostitute, and take her for yourself. Go pay for her. So Hosea does exactly what God says, and he buys this prostitute, takes her for himself. They have three children. And after they have three children, she decides to go back to her old ways. And he says, well, done. This woman left me. She went back to her old profession or whatever, to her old ways. And God says to Hosea, go back and love her. Go pay for her a second time and take her for yourself. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. You know, it's interesting. Some make the difference that in the first chapter, God says, go purchase her. But in the third chapter, he says, go love her. Isn't that what God did when he sent his son to the cross? Paid for a sinner like you and me. You know, that gives me hope. Because sometimes when I go back to my old ways, he's still wanting to redeem me. He's still wanting to love me. God loves me back into his arms. Because he's had me in his heart the whole time. That's what he does. And last but not least, peace. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 29. Now here we go, Simeon, the old man. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, You are releasing your bondservant to depart in what? In peace, according to your word. See, Jesus came. Simeon picks him up and says, now I have peace. That's exactly what this world needs. Once again, the Spirit comes and shows him what true peace is through Jesus. Jesus came to bring peace. See, if you noticed, I just gave you seven little words from the gift of Christmas, right? And it included men, included women. The same. The same. Three women and three men and the shepherds. So this is very important. Now we'll look at in chapter 2, continuing in verse 33 and 35 says, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, the mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce you, even your soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. A sword will pierce your heart. You see, it's not all going to be easy, Mary. You're going to experience some hardship with these children. And we see that when Jesus is at the cross. And he's dying and Mary's there at the foot of the cross. And Jesus says, Mama, go with John. John, take Mama. Wow. I want you to think about the pierced heart of this woman called Mary. First, she loses her husband and she's raising a child on her own. And then she loses her son too. Yet, you can still have peace because the Prince of Peace has come, Jesus. And the same peace that he brought 2,000 years ago is the same peace he brings today. And no matter what you're going through this season, you can also have peace today. Christmas brings peace because Jesus is our peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, understand this. Know Jesus? No peace. Know Jesus, then you'll know peace.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.